And with the end of the Writer's Almanac here on the Jefferson Exchange, we begin this week's edition of our Vent Stay segment. Your chance to vent your spleen politely on a couple of topics in the news. This week's topics, police equipment and earthquake preparedness. Our numbers here on the Exchange, 800-838-3760 around the region. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. The police equipment discussion is prompted by two events half a continent apart. One, the response to unrest after the police shooting in Ferguson, Missouri. Two, the recent announcement that one Rogue Valley Police Department, Talent, equips all of its officers with video cameras worn on the body, and the Reading Police are moving this way as well. These two events come back to the issue of what we as a society think is appropriate equipment for civil, as in not military, police departments. Local police across the country can and do buy or get free surplus equipment sold by the federal defense and homeland security departments. These include armored vehicles and some really serious weapons. Are these necessary in your mind in any way to make sure criminals do not outgun the police? Or is this an inappropriate level of armament for the police? And the body cameras to create a video and audio record of police encounters with citizens. Good move to eliminate discrepancies in stories or overbearing surveillance. 800-838-3760, 541-552-6782. The earthquake preparedness topic is prompted by the Sunday quake in the Napa Valley. At a magnitude of 6, it was big, but not the big one we're constantly warned about. It raises the usual questions about any violent shaking of the earth. How ready are we for a major quake? What else could we and should we be doing to prepare ourselves and our buildings and other structures for major thrashing? And are we any closer to technology that might give us warning, even a little warning, of earthquakes? Let's get your thoughts on earthquake preparedness and police equipment. 800-838-3760, 541-552-6782, jx@jeffnet.org. Vent Stay returns in 1 minute. It's 8:36 on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Now let's hear from you. This is our Vent Stay segment, your weekly chance, well, almost weekly, we skipped last week, to vent your spleen politely on a couple of topics in the news. This week we're talking about appropriate levels of equipment for police departments. When you see things like the armored vehicles that rolled through the streets of Ferguson, what do you think about that? Are you worried about the police being outgunned by criminals? So should they be taking this surplus military equipment from the Defense and Homeland Security departments? What do you think about police body cameras? All that as one set of questions, 800-838-3760. And the other set of questions involve earthquake preparedness since the Napa quake, which gave us another reminder, oh yeah, we're in a region where seismic activity is fairly common. What can we or should we be doing to ensure our safety the next time one comes around? 800-838-3760, 541-552-6782, or jx@jeffnet.org. Bruce and Ashland, you're up first. Welcome to Vent Stay on the Jefferson Exchange.
Great. I wanted to talk about the earthquake preparedness. One of the problems we have is all the brick buildings, which are also our historic buildings.
Yes, a lot of unreinforced masonry there, so not reinforcing bars like you get in modern concrete structures.
Yeah, I heard in Sonoma that was a lot of the damage. Also in Santa Cruz, when I visited the day after the earthquake, I noticed all the chimneys had toppled over. So brick is something that's really dangerous. I think the most important thing for preparedness is to train oneself. Everybody needs to train themselves what to do in an earthquake. If you're in a brick building, you want to get out of it. Other buildings are strong, and you can just get under furniture. But the other thing to think about besides building collapse is dam collapse. For instance, in Ashland, we have these warning sirens. So if one were along a creek below a dam, one would want to immediately get to high ground. You don't want to sit around and wait to be told. You just want to have reflexes ready to do what you need to do.
Yeah, you're right about the warning sirens. I guess I forget about those from time to time, but they do exist. I don't know how often they're tested, though. In case the Hosmer Dam, which holds the Rita Reservoir back, holds Ashland Creek back as Rita Reservoir, if something breaches that dam, those sirens will go off and give people a couple of moments warning anyway.
Yeah, I hear them test them once a month. It's quite an interesting sound to hear and to know what it is, and just to, when you hear it, to train yourself, like, okay, where am I? Go uphill.
All right. So do you have a plan at your own house, Bruce, for places you'll go and things you'll take or supplies you'll have on hand in case there is an earthquake and services are disrupted?
Well, honestly, with the earthquake, I just think about going uphill because I am in an area where I wouldn't want to be if water came down.
All right, Bruce, thanks for your thoughts. Good to talk to you. This is Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange. We're letting you vent your spleen politely on earthquake preparedness, lessons we learned from the Napa quake that we can carry forward to future quakes. There will be others in this region. We know that much. The other topic, of course, is police equipment and what you think about the police departments around the country taking the surplus equipment at little or no cost from the Homeland Security and Defense Departments and deploying those in city streets. Again, it's not just the armaments, but it's also things like police body cameras, which, as you heard, the Talent Police are now using, and the Reading Police are moving toward using body cameras as well, with support from the City Council. Chief Rob Paletti is moving toward getting body cameras for the Reading Police. What's appropriate? What is inappropriate? What should be just plain off limits for the use of city and county police? 800-838-3760 to contact us on Vents Day. 541-552-6782 by email jx@jeffnet.org. Here's John and Vanita. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Good morning, Jeffrey.
Hi.
I understand there's supposed to be an absolute firewall between the military and our police. Our forefathers were at least leaders. They blurred that with the war on drugs, and I hate to do this to people this early in the morning, but Ruby Ridge, Waco, and sure, there's religious goofballs involved here, but, you know, in this country, you're supposed to have a right to be a religious goofball, I guess, unless you're that wacko that shot all those people in the military base running around screaming, God is great. But these people weren't doing that. They accused the Davidian bunch that they had drugs and guns, and that's where they give themselves permission. If people remember back, there was military machines coming in, tanks, and they burn up 80-some women and kids, if I remember correctly. The FBI, if I recall right, showed one picture of these supposed illegal guns, and then they literally bulldoze the whole place over, and it's just a plot along the road, from what I understand.
Mm-hmm.
But all that stuff aside, I wasn't a direct witness to any of this. The fact that they would be handing out this kind of stuff, and the pictures I've seen on the television when they had the Boston thing happening, you got a city of how many millions of people are looking for several rodents, and they're marching families out of their houses with their hands on their heads with this, M4s and the overstuffed body armor and all this. This is not America. This is not America.
So
anyway,
to nicks on the military hardware, you're saying?
Oh, it's just ridiculous. I mean, they can already have shotguns M60 or M15s or AR-15s, in their cars, and Kevlar and all that. I mean, and I'm not against the police. Please believe me, it's not that. It's when it gets to this point, and if you're in that bunch, what are you going to do? If you don't like it, you can't say anything. And that was an excuse a lot of the guys had going back into the 30s and the 40s in Nazi Germany, and they executed and did away with a lot of them.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So, you can't hide behind that if you're going to look at history. That's what brings me here is just history. I look at it, and I do not like the way this country's going because of this kind of stuff. Our leadership has given themselves a permission slip for just about anything they want to do, and there's virtually no accountability. And, when I say accountability, I mean serious accountability, way up high.
All right.
They're not doing it. They're destroying the country.
All right, John, thanks for the thoughts, impassioned thoughts for sure, but politely spoken. We appreciate that. This is Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange. Vent your spleen politely on what is the proper level of equipment for police departments. We're talking local police departments and the so-called militarization of police. That's one side of it. The other side of it is this discussion of police body cameras now in use in the city of Talent in Jackson County and pending in use coming to the city of Reading in Shasta County. Your thoughts on what is appropriate equipment for police departments? 800-838-3760, 541-552-6782, email jx@jeffnet.org. And, of course, the other topic is earthquake preparedness. Let's go to Cindy in Neyland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Hi. On the earthquake preparedness, I wonder how much, since it's almost universal, constant warnings about the big one coming, how have our state governments got a reasonable amount set aside to take care of the massive infrastructure damage that'll happen in that point? Are they relying just on the federal government to fund emergency services? I just wonder how much is going to be available for getting enough infrastructure fixed immediately so that supplies can get through and emergency medical care, for instance, can get out and that sort of thing, and how much is set aside for long-term problems?
That's an excellent question, and I think the answer is B, where they're waiting for the federal government to come in, because as I look at some recent news stories, both in Oregon and California, there's not a lot of money set aside for infrastructure repairs when a big earthquake would happen. There's discussion in Oregon, certainly, of in the legislature of setting some money aside, at least to assess what kind of shape school buildings are in, but nothing allocated at this point.
Yeah, that does seem to be a hole in the thinking process. Spend it now and worry about later when it comes. The other thing I wanted to say is I'm totally in favor of body cameras for policemen. Anything that provides information,
yeah.
Only.
All right, great. Thanks for that, Cindy. Good to talk to you. Let's go to Brad in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day. We're talking about police equipment and earthquake prep.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for doing this topic and letting me on. I echo what John just said, that there needs to be accountability. Even in our beloved Ashland, I have run into situations where, to me, there really ought to be a civilian review board of what the police do and how to act and everything. But my larger concern is our sheriff and the sheriff's race going on. When the candidate Bob Sergi was running in the primary, I learned that the current sheriff, Mike Winters, had purchased this very expensive and redundant and unnecessary communications system to the L.A. Police Department. And, there were a number of things that he has done, Mike Winters, where he's coordinated multiple SWAT-like attacks on a pot farm, and then came out and announced to the papers that he would not enforce federal gun laws if they come down the pike. So I'm a little bit concerned about him.
This is sounding political, but I mean, on a larger scale, I mean, you're just talking about general concerns about police and their use of force?
Yeah, and my point that I'm working towards here is that I won't go into the whole thing of how Bob Sergi is treated during the primary. But there is an election coming up now, and during the discussion, it came out that there's no accountability for our sheriff. He doesn't have to answer to anybody. Even the county commissioners don't have a way to say, hey, rein it in there, guy. So the only accountability that we have is our voting. And I hope that all these people who are otherwise cynical about our political process will get involved this year and learn about that particular race. And examine, I guess it's somebody named Falls from Ashland that's running, seems pretty sharp. And take a look at that, because there is no accountability other than the voters. And I need to have a sense of assurity that I can trust the police departments that are around us. And currently I have reasons to not totally do that.
All right, Brad, thanks for that. Appreciate it. And I should point out that any legislative body, city council, county commission, county supervisors, do have the power of the purse. They do have the power of budgeting and can reduce or increase the amount of money that goes to the police department, which is within their jurisdiction. So there is that power. But you're right. And sheriffs are elected officials, elected separately from the county leaders. Thanks for that. Brad, let's go to Pam and Dexter. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day, Police Equipment and Earthquake Preparedness, our topics.
Hi. Well, real quickly on earthquake preparedness. I lived in L.A. for a couple years and went through a couple small quakes. And a couple things I'd never thought of until I lived there was have shoes by your bed, a flashlight, don't hang anything up heavy over your bed, because I left right before the Northridge quake hit, and what happened was a friend of mine who had been born and raised in L.A. knew enough to not do that, and her house was totally demolished, and she had shoes, but there was glass broken all over near her bed, and it was in the middle of the night, so she had her flashlight, and I'm like, you know, those are things you don't think of until it happens or someone tells you. And I just think being a community building is always good, and know your neighbors so you can pool resources, because I don't think anybody should really expect, you know, the fire and the emergency vehicles to be able to come to your house and save you. So it's really about being prepared with your neighbors and yourself. And then maybe further on, and, you know, the usual, have food and water and all that, because that could all be cut off.
Right, but that's good basic advice, having the shoes and the flashlight near the bed.
Don't think about it until it happens or someone tells you. And then the police issue, I flashed back to when I was in London, and my girlfriend and I went to this hostel that the cab dropped us off, and a friend had recommended it, and it was boarded up. And we get out with our suitcases, And these two Bobbies, police officers, they walked, they not only did they tell us where we could go to stay, they walked us there and carried our bags. I mean, it was like, it's like really to protect and serve. They were serving us. They were there to help us out. And at that point, there were no guns. They just had their sticks. They were walking the beat together. And I just feel like we've gone so far to the extreme. And if you give a guy an AK-47, he's going to use it. If you give him a taser, he's going to use it. And I just feel like the more we give them, the more they're going to use it, because boys and their toys. I'm sorry, but it seems like they're just drawn to use these weapons. So I think there needs to be a lot more oversight. I love the idea of them having the cameras on at all times. And I don't know. It's just the success of they always get. Have you ever noticed the police always get off? They never get charged. I have yet to see a case where they shoot somebody and they have to, you know, they're charged that was excessive force and it wasn't called for. So
seldom.
Those are my,
you. All right.
Yeah, I've never seen it. So thanks.
Pam, thank you. Good to hear from you. Let's go to Mike in Eagle Point. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day. We're talking earthquake preps and police equipping.
Yeah, good morning. With regard to earthquakes, don't expect emergency services to be able to get to you. Be prepared to be self-sufficient for at least 2 weeks. All the food, all the water, all the medications you might need, whatever you're going to have to figure out for sanitation, utilities, and those kinds of services. You know, you're going to lose all the bridges, all the roads, all the railroads, all the seaports, all the airports. Expect all that to be unusable.
Yeah, good point. And as Pam was pointing out, though, get to know your neighbors, because it's not like you have to keep all the food and water in the neighborhood for yourself. I mean, you could potentially have a neighbor get the water, you could get the food, you know, you could distribute things around potentially.
And I think with regard to police, while I share the concerns of the previous caller, we live in a world where we expect the police to go up against drug cartels and gangbangers that are heavily armed themselves, and I want my police officers to be able to respond to those kinds of threats. I think the body cameras are always a good idea. That there needs to be accountability anytime we have people with armament and power to use it out there, but I don't want them to be underarmed against potential adversaries.
All right. Thanks for that, Mike. Appreciate it. Let's go to Mark in Medford. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Good morning. I'd like to take a different perspective on this armament of the police department.
Okay.
ISIS has weapons that they've got from Iraq weaponry depots, and also, you know, we see pictures of the vehicles, the Stinger missiles, et cetera. The bad guys can, if you have this type of armament, it can fall into the hands of bad guys who manage to maneuver and get the stuff. So you're putting a level of risk is being heightened by bringing in higher level armament that we make assumptions about the civility of the society that we live in. But we too could become like other parts of the world and face this, and all this high powered weaponry can get into the hands of whoever the bad guys are.
Mm-hmm. So you see a domestic arms race potentially going on.
Well, that's what it is. And, you know, whether it's being used by the police or, you know, potentially by bad guys. I mean, that's what happens. I mean, they have Stinger missiles now in the Middle East, ISIS, and all kinds of other equipment that we see pictures of that was our stuff that we provided over there.
Right, because the Iraqi army units have abandoned a lot of this hardware, and so it ends up in the hands of people opposing
it. Where are the bad guys going to go? I mean, you know, what are there, 2-3 officers that maybe control the access to the equipment? Well, they plan, the terrorists can plan an attack unsuspected and overpower and kill these guys and take control of the weaponry.
All right, I guess I'm trying to follow with the domestic example, though, because on city streets for police, are you concerned that if police are equipped like this, that the bad guys will get a hold of them in our cities?
Yeah, I mean, they can get a hold of him. They can overpower and do a sneak attack or overpower and get them. They've got the equipment and the weaponry against the regular citizen.
All right. Thanks for that, Mark. Appreciate it. Let's go to Julie in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Hi there. I have 2 points, but I might not get to the other one, I guess. The accountability that the police should have, I think, is important. For example, if they have all kinds of weaponry for all kinds of situations, I think there should be a decision-making process where they don't just use the heavy stuff with a minor detail that they're dealing with. It kind of is intimidating. And so I think there should be a decision-making process that they have to follow, a protocol that they can justify if anything goes wrong. I guess you understand.
So in other words, if they're responding to a low-level situation, don't show up in full armor.
Yeah. So, and now my case, I was pulled over at a non-traffic time of night, 9 p.m. on Siskiyou Boulevard near Tolman Creek, coming out of the senior center there, the senior housing. And I guess I happened to maybe cross the center divider line, mm-hmm. which I would admit I do sometimes if I don't see any cars around. So that's a habit that I've changed. However, when the officer came to my car, he had a lighted helmet with a camera on, and I felt really like it was against my rights for him to do this filming of me for such a minor detail. It was almost like...
But it keeps a record of the transaction, doesn't it?
Well, it does, but it's like it goes into a database of he was doing a visual ID on me without my permission, you know, so that it's in some database. You know, now I might sound a little paranoid, but I'm just saying I haven't been pulled over for years, and so it's all been done with just the driver's license ID. Mm-hmm. Now there's this filmed ID somewhere of me and my eye color and,
okay.
you know... You know,
but the point is that what's appropriate to the situation is what should be used.
And yes, and did this happen to anyone else, this sort of nonchalant pullover with a filmed, interaction?
Well,
and this was maybe 6 months ago. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for that, Julie. Appreciate it. Let's move on to Heidi in Medford. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Hi. We probably have very little time, but I immigrated from Germany in 1962. When I first came here, people would ask me, how could Germany let this happen? I want to ask all of America, how can we let this happen to our people?
You see the militarization very much on par with what happened in Germany?
I mean, Hitler used to build these bunkers and heavy-duty buildings all over Berlin. Look at our police garage here. They needed to have a secure place to park their car, and it looks like a fortress. And it will be a fortress. They're safe in there to park their car. They are, you know, not protecting us. They're protecting themselves.
Thanks for the thoughts, Heidi. Appreciate it. Let's go on to Tom in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day. We're talking about police equipment and earthquake prep.
Well, good morning. First thing I want to point out is I think there are several violations of Godwin's law appearing here. As soon as you mention Nazis, I think you lose some validity. There's a philosophical battle going on where people are trying to prove that government doesn't work, and so we don't fund things. How do people expect us to get funding for earthquake readiness or for the police departments to get just equipment anyway? So when they get grants from the DOD or other entities, why are people surprised that they're grasping at everything? And this is not to say that I, you know, validate that they, you know, they need all these automatic weapons or APCs or anything like that. But I know, you know, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not out to get you. But I don't think they're all out to get us. I think a lot of people are dedicated public servants, and they're doing the best they can. And yes, they do err, especially in tactics,
mm-hmm. All right.
That kind of thing.
A lot to think about. Well, we certainly heard a lot in this hour. Tom, appreciate that, and I want to appreciate everybody who called. Lots of comments, lots of reasoned thoughts here, and everybody was polite. That's always a good thing on Vince Day. Thanks for listening. Thanks for taking part. This is the Jefferson Exchange on Jefferson Public Radio.